The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries. Well, the other thing that was rising up in me as we're talking about some of the pitfalls, some of the dangers, some of the things that we have to weed through regarding hearing God's voice is that it is part of our heritage to hear His voice. It's our inheritance, yes, to hear His voice. That's who, right, we are. It's our DNA to hear His voice. And yes, there is a bunch of stuff out there that threatens it, that causes us to question, you know, that is just plain wrong. But when it comes down to it, we have to know that God made it so that we can hear His voice, and that it is part of our DNA, and that He will meet us in our pursuit of hearing His voice.
Can you imagine hearing the voice of God and not knowing it? Well, it happened. Samuel, who was literally called by God and heard His voice, didn't know who was talking to him. But eventually he did, and later discovered that he was called by God to be a prophet of the Lord. Is there a chance God is speaking to you today and your identity in Him is just on the other side? Well, then stay with us as we discuss and explore the idea of hearing God's voice and discovering your call. That's coming up next right here on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and thank you for joining us for part two of our two-part series on Samuel. When we left you last week, we were discussing hearing God's voice and had discussed how Samuel was such a great example for us all because he was called by God and didn't recognize that it was God who was calling him. It really highlights the difference between hearing and listening for God. Bethany concluded our remarks on Samuel last week and how her own experience of once hearing the audible voice of God was a life-changing experience for her. So let's pick up the discussion right there as we conclude our two-part discussion on Samuel right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
In Samuel's case, God took the initiative, and it was so clear to Samuel that he thought it was a person talking to him. And how many of us...
It's so natural.
Right, can connect with that. I know that has happened to me once where it just rocks you. You're like, wow. Yeah, in relationship with God. But then there's people... I want to take it a little turn here. There's people who hear voices that aren't from God. How do we know? Because we're always concerned about if we're on... If we're accurate, is this really God? Am I making it up? You know, you brought deja vu into it. Is this just, you know, happen chance? To know that it's God speaking to you so that you're not hearing, because people hear voices that aren't from God as well,
true.
Right?
That is true. God's voice would never take you into a point of stress and strain. It won't chase away peace. But you've got to have peace to start with, which means that is your conscience clear? If you're in sin, there's a chance that you're agreeing with some influences that are not of God, allowing those influences to hang around and to harass you. That's why it's important that you turn from sin and you let Jesus, and only He can forgive you of your sin. And then in that place where you choose Christ, then He comes and begins to push back anything that could be voices that are not of God. Because honestly, if you're allowing sin in your life, then you're agreeing with another persuasion that isn't of God, obviously. So you want to be postured in a way where Jesus is your Savior and forgiver of sin, that He also comes to be your deliverer and the one who brings freedom. So the voice of God will always be easily entreated, and it's peace-giving. And I want to encourage the listener in the fact that He's never a bully, and He will never threaten you. He is always a God that comes with safety and security to you, and that you have a clear conscience before the Lord so that you can receive what is of God.
You know, God always comes with conviction, but He never puts shame on us.
Oh, that's so good.
If we're under this, wow, I'm
Honey,
a bad
well
person,
said, yes.
This voice is, make you know, maybe it's your own issue and you have to choose to believe what God says.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other side of this voice is putting you down. It's not God. Because when God brings a correction, it's always so clean.
Come on.
It just makes you want to step into really pursuing him. And you'll look at it and go, wow, he like a surgeon went to the point with that word that he spoke to me.
Absolutely.
That is a clear way to know, because there's so many voices that don't have that clarity, that fine instrument that raised you to a new level pursuing him.
It always leads you to the goodness of God and to the Lord Jesus. You can watch people, even on TV, that are hearing supernatural voices that are not of God. It's because it never takes you to the Lord Jesus, never takes you to the cross. How is it that they know these things? And so often people are really wowed by the fact that information was given about a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through an influence. Well, it's crazy where we're going. But the fact is that we're watched. The adversary can never know our thoughts, and so we're observed. And then information is gathered, and then by that medium given back to the person listening to other influences not of God. So the fact that they have facts and insight and information doesn't make it right. Because it all comes around the source.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your source of this information? And where does it lead you? Does it lead it to yourself? Does it lead it to other selfish motivations, or where people have an agenda that is self-serving?
Yeah.
Beware. What's really key is that you're hearing it from a source that is from the kingdom of the whose king is King Jesus, because of the love of the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are a lot of counterfeits. The counterfeits have the Ouija board is one of those that brings great destruction to people, because it is supernatural, but it's not of God. Tarot cards, Kabbalah, any kind of different types of occult practices to gather information. You can get information from other sources, but if it's not the correct source because of the blood of Jesus, folks, you're going down the wrong road, and you're being hoodwinked in the fact that there are other voices that long to gather your attention, but you need to understand the one true voice, and that is the voice of the Lord your God.
So, Teresa, how do we know? What's one of the ways that we can figure out how to know if we're hearing God or not, or if it's the enemy?
This is James 3:17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. Well, the other thing that was rising up in me as we're talking about some of the pitfalls, some of the dangers, some of the things that we have to weed through regarding hearing God's voice is that it is part of our heritage to hear his voice.
That's good.
It's our inheritance to hear his voice. That's who
right.
we are. It's our DNA to hear his voice. And yes, there is a bunch of stuff out there that threatens it, that causes us to question, that is just plain wrong. But when it comes down to it, we have to know that God made it so that we can hear his voice, and that it is part of our DNA, and that he will meet us in our pursuit of hearing his voice. Again, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow." He even said that too, that if we position ourselves, especially like Samuel did, putting ourselves in the presence and allowing God to initiate the hearing, which is what happened to Samuel. I also believe that he bumps into us in our life with things he presents to us and gives us the option to respond to him. And, there's just different ways, There's not a box. There's not a formula. Obviously, we follow the word, and James gives us clues of the fruit of when God speaks to us. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated. I mean, Jesus came to save. He didn't come to condemn. That's another clue. If it's condemning, it's not God. But coming from the place of knowing that it is our DNA, I think we can take it for ourselves that we can hear him.
Perfect transition for what I was going to say is if it's condemning, it's not God. So you were talking earlier, Bethany, yes. You're talking about the idea of what is the voice that I'm hearing? And not every voice that I hear is a good voice. And I think this kind of brings it around to who is God to me? What is my view of God and who he is? Is he an angry, judgmental, fist-pounding God that is ready to, you know, pound
correct
the top
us on
of my
everything yeah. we do wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, is that my view of God, or do I have a view of God that God is loving, that he's long-suffering, that he's patient, that he's kind, that he's good, and that he cares about me, and that the word that describes him in the New Testament about him being a loving father, and that he is willing to wait for us. He waits an eternity for many people. To me, if that's our view of God, if we have this view that God is angry, we're going to probably view the voices that we hear, through that
filter.
Through that filter. But yeah. If we see God as judgmental, if we see God as legalistic and as a law authority instead of a loving father, then we probably are hearing a counterfeit spirit. And I think the opportunity there, and for every listener right now, is for you to consider and also take your view of the Father back to him and let him show you who he is. His scripture does not lie. The word of God says that he loves you. And so if he loves you, does it stand to reason that he's ready to, as Herb mentioned, that we're ready to get hit by a 2x4? Does that sound, I no wonder that makes you cringe, Herb. Because it's funny that I never really thought twice about that before. But now I think I see why it makes you cringe. What kind of a loving father is going to whack you on the side of a head with a 2x4? I know it's just us. It's a euphemism of the way we put it. But truly, that isn't representing God well. And I think what we are needing is that we need an adjustment in our view of God. And then when we know the nature of the Father, then we can help. That gives us the tool that we need in our belt to be able to filter the things that Teresa's saying, the things that you're saying, Bethany, that when we hear a word or a voice from the Lord, we can know what is the difference between the authentic and the counterfeit.
We long for the authenticity of the kingdom of God touching the earth, his presence, how he leads his people. The beauty of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us, and he's also our warrior king, and the fact that he sits at the right hand of the Father. And we look at God as our Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply, and that he sent his only son, which is way beyond me. I could never give up my son for somebody I don't know. I don't know if I could give him up, period. But look at the depth of the Father. I mean, he is... I'm going to use the word a violent lover, and I don't mean that in a wrong way. I mean, God's love towards us was so magnificent and so pure that he went to battle to win us back because we were lost. So here we've got the authentic love of God because of the magnificence of his son going to the cross and then taking with him all of our sin, all of our sickness, all that came to destroy us, and rose 3 days later from the dead, came out of the grave victorious, that who would ever believe upon him would have everlasting life. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and the precious, powerful, loving Holy Spirit, one that's to be honored and never to be grieved, is now representing the love and the power of the Godhead upon the earth. And what a story. And what an adventure for every believer. See, truly, we can never be bored. And what's key for us is to learn the difference between the attempts of the counterfeit and that which is authentic. And that's where the Lord is leading us. And this is why it's key for us to be people today in this hour that are learning to hear His voice. And it's been a call that's been on my heart for several decades. Boy, I'm several decades. And that is that the church would learn how to hear. We're coming into such an hour right now with some of the decisions that have happened in our country over the last couple of decades, again, if I may say, that leads us even to where we are right now. That as we see our nation shifting and taking on some of the decisions that have come down even recently, the fact is that the people who have turned their face to God through His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit need to learn how to hear the authenticity of what is being said now, and that the church respond according to love and maturity, some of the postures that our nation now finds themselves. We have to be a country that never turns our back on Israel. We have to be a country that looks what it is to love well with some of the decisions that she's embraced. I believe that there's coming a time where God is going to release another outpouring. We need to be ready for that. And we need to be people that are loving incredibly well authenticity against the counterfeit. And it has to do with how well we're listening and how well we're hearing. That's really key for us. What's been described and spoken of here are some principles in the last two broadcasts about hearing out of 1 Samuel 3. Those principles are for every believer. But it's really key right now that we be authentic in our pursuit, in our repentance, and in our hearing of God's heart and His voice. We got to go after Him.
I just want to take this opportunity after what Herb had to share, and I just want to encourage our listeners right now. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God.
Come on.
But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God."
Come on.
Friends,
bring it.
Scripture tells us He was more than just a man, but that He was the personification of the Father. He took on the very form of the Father. Philippians chapter 2 says that He was the very form of God. You can trust this. You can know this. And all of the things that God speaks to you about your identity, about your destiny, about the things that and the plans that He has for you, plans of a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah. The Lord has a plan for you. And He is here for you. And so I just bless you in Jesus' name to be able to discern and know the Spirit of God, that it does not speak in the form of judgment. It is not angry. And it isn't here to slam you down. Hmm. It is to pick you up. It is to brush you off.
Yeah.
And it is set you on the path, straight and narrow, directly to God.
Yes,
in Jesus'
He so
name.
Loves us. Again, we have to emphasize the love of God. God is a God who loves us as our best in mind.
Yes.
You know, Mark, as you were taking a moment, I have a sense to say that there are several of our listeners who are emotional. I mean, they're at a point of tears. It's like inside, you know, they're just, you know, they're kind of like mush in their emotions at the moment because they've been really moved by what we've been sharing. And that sense, I'm to say to you, trust Him, trust God, and watch how He will lead you as you give yourself fully to Him in this way. And I want to speak also because I believe I'm seeing something that the Lord is showing me to encourage those who are saying, you know, I've tried the Lord before in trusting him, and I don't know if I want to try again. I'm to say to you, yes, turn. Trust him again in this hour. Watch what he will do. May I also talk to the housewife who has just come through a very difficult time with your husband, even to the place where you felt threatened. And I'm to say to you, do not hold back. Do the right thing in regards to the decision that you've been pondering and you've been holding off on. This is a hard right, I know, but this is a demonstration of the love of God in two areas. One, he's concerned about your welfare, and secondly, as a father, he says to you, make the call. Do the correct thing that has been in your heart to do that you have delayed upon. No more delay. Do the right thing. Wow, that is a detailed, powerful word of knowledge, insight given that wasn't given moments before, to reach out to one of his children, one of his daughters that's struggling. And I want to say to you all that were listening, the scripture that says that Jesus would leave the 99 to go after the one, you just had that example of that kind of love. And the woman who just heard that word of knowledge is saying, how did he know that? And I'm saying to you, it's by the Spirit. And if you are in a place where now, and if your hands, you know, all of a sudden are reaching for the phone, do it. Don't stop until you do what you know is right for the sake of yourself and your family. The love of God even is strong in its directives, and he'll do that for everyone who's listening. If you'll ask, he's very detailed in how he'll guide us, even in moments of decisions for our safety. Come on. He loves us. Be people who respond to his voice.
I just got a name, John Bailey, and it's spelled J-O-N-B-A-I-L-E-Y. And I feel like God has a word for you today, and Teresa has a scripture she's going to read for you.
Okay, and I felt like God gave me 1 Corinthians 27 and 28. It's the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God.
I feel like John and perhaps some others have disqualified themselves. And this scripture talks to that, where you go, wow, I've blown it, or what, you know, I've got no goods, you know, it can't, how could God use me? And God is saying, I'm the one who chooses who I use, and I like to use things that nobody in a human thinking would use, and to showcase me. And John and others, do not disqualify yourself. It's about God and how awesome he is. And God, I pray right now for people, and I'll put myself out there too, God, where we shortchange how amazing you are and how you love to demonstrate yourself. And God, use us however you want, and pour out your goodness, your grace, your power, however you want to move in this greater Seattle area through us. Use us. And we're just ready to be used. And it's all you through us. And just pray a blessing over people who are listening to this broadcast. God, your best. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Bethany. Another great point in prayer about disqualification, and how with God, we're never too far away from his love. Friends, we want to remind you very quickly to not forget that we have two outdoor meetings coming in August that you'll surely want to attend if you're able. On August 2nd, we'll be in Enumclaw, and on August 9th, we'll be on the North End in Snohomish. If you're near either one of these venues, drop in and see what Sought Out Global is all about. For more information on location and times, please go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com. We also like to take this opportunity to encourage you to consider giving to Sought Out Global Radio. As you know, Sought Out Global Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and we could not bring these broadcasts to you each and every week without your generous support. So once you take your request to God and ask Him if there's something you can do to give and help keep Sought Out Global Radio on the air, to give, you can write us at Sought Out Global Radio, P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. You can also go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com and follow the links to partnership and giving. Our email address is radio@soughtoutglobal.com. We also like to take this opportunity to encourage you to consider giving to Sought Out Global Radio. As you know, Sought Out Global Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and we could not bring these broadcasts to you each and every week without your generous support. To give, you can write us at Sought Out Global Radio, P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. You can also go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com and follow the links to partnership and giving. Our email address is radio@soughtoutglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and Teresa Grote, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again here next week, right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.